We're in Philippians 3 today, verse 7 through 11. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings, by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Over to Greg.
Good morning. Have you guys been enjoying our spring rain showers? I want to share before I get started. I preach maybe once every 5 or 6 weeks. I know well in advance the passages I'm preaching on. And if you know me, I start preparing as soon as I hear 5 weeks in advance. Well, this week was similar. However, by Friday night, I rewrote my message on Saturday. The Lord apparently didn't like it. So, trust in the Lord this morning for his word. We're going to take a look at last week's passage as Paul builds on that in today's message. So we'll begin there. Last week, the Apostle Paul brings the church a message of warning, but also of encouragement regarding our walk of faith. He again warns those evil workers who would oppose the message of the gospel, those Jews who would require the legalistic works of the law be added to faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. He warns us not to put our confidence in our works. He also encourages us with his theme of joy, which is woven throughout this letter to the Philippians. He identified clearly that our joy is in the Lord alone. This joy is not affected by our circumstances, but flows out of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that we are the true circumcision, not the circumcision of external conformity to the law, but the internal circumcision of the heart transformed by God. Since God has transformed our heart, we worship him not in external works of ceremony and law, but in spirit and truth. Our worship is not just lip service, but it flows from the depths of a heart transformed by God. We do not glory in our own works, but are to give all the glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he is doing in us and through us. Paul went on to acknowledge that before he met Christ on the road to Damascus, his confidence was in the flesh. Confidence in his Jewish heritage, external adherence to the law, and the following of the traditions of men. His religious credentials and works righteousness were impeccable according to man. He now counts all of this as loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. You remember in Acts 17, Paul is put aboard a cargo ship as a prisoner. The ship sets sail for Rome, and a violent storm overtakes the ship. The winds grew stronger and the waves larger until the ship was in jeopardy of sinking. They needed to make a choice. To try to save the ship and their lives, they chose to throw their valuable cargo overboard. They now consider the cargo of no value compared to the value of their lives. This is the picture Paul is painting for us this morning. Sometimes the things keeping us from Jesus are not our sins, but our good works, our achievements, and our desire to be in control. Anything that we have is worthless compared to the value of the salvation found in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16, 25 and 26, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" What in this world are we willing to give up today for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ? Let's get into our passage this morning. The Apostle Paul tells us in verses 7 and 8, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, by whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." This passage has now become very personal to the Apostle Paul. He makes 9 references to himself in these 5 verses. This is Paul's testimony of what took place in his heart when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus changed him forever. All his righteousness and religion that was once gained to him, he now considers to be lost for the sake of Christ. Paul had considered the religious credentials he worked so diligently to earn as gain. His confidence was in his Jewish heritage, his devotion to the traditions of the fathers, his self-righteous works as a Pharisee, and his obedience to the law. His obedience to the law through external conformity rather than a surrendered heart transformed by the Lord. Now the apostle considers all his religious credentials and legalistic obedience to the law as rubbish compared to knowing Jesus Christ. This is the illustration of the parable of the hidden treasure Jesus taught in Matthew 13. Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which when a man has found it, he hides it, and for the joy of it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Are we willing to lose our religious works and self-righteousness, discarding them as rubbish that we might gain the immeasurable riches that are found in knowing Jesus Christ? In verse 8, Paul now counts everything as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. At first, it was his religion and self-righteousness. Now there is nothing in Paul's life that is more valuable than knowing Jesus. When a couple decides to get married, they will be giving up their habits as an individual to build a marriage of unity and love based on their life together. This is not a one-time commitment on their wedding day, but a lifelong choice to wake up every morning and put their spouse's needs ahead of their own. To know Jesus in an intimate, personal way requires us to daily choose the eternal value of knowing him over the temporary things of this world. To know Jesus goes beyond academic knowledge. Having a head knowledge of someone is not the same as knowing them in the sense of the Greek word translated to know used here. This Greek word communicates an intimate, personal knowledge of the one known. Not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. To know them experientially, personally, and intimately. Jesus said in John 10, "I know my sheep, and they know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." Jesus says our relationship with him is just as intimate and personal as his relationship is with his Father. To know Jesus is to obey his commands. The Apostle John describes this relationship this way in 1 John 2, 3 through 6. He says, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought to himself walk in the same manner as Jesus walked." As we get to know Jesus and learn from him, we begin to become like him, to walk as he walked. Salvation begins with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul said he will now lose everything. He holds nothing back to gain the surpassing value of Jesus Christ. Is there anything in our life today that we have been unwilling to lose for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord? Paul goes on in verse 9, and he says, "And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." Righteousness can be defined as having a right standing with God. The Apostle Paul had spent his life trying to gain a righteousness out of the law. But we know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As Isaiah said, that all our righteous deeds are filthy rags. But God says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our relationship with God, our righteousness, comes by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Paul tells us in Romans 10 that Christ came to put an end to the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. We can never achieve a right relationship with God through works of righteousness that we do. We receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith as a gift from God based on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus did on the cross what we are unable to do through obedience to the law. Paul says in Romans 8, 1 through 4, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Are we still striving in the flesh to attain our righteousness through good works? Or are we walking in the Spirit, trusting Jesus for our righteousness? Paul goes on now to share with us the value of knowing Christ in verses 10 and 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now that he finds himself living by faith in Jesus Christ, he is driven to pursue that intimate knowledge of him. He lists three things: knowing the power of the resurrection, knowing the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, that he may attain to the resurrection from the dead. First, in Christ, we may know the power of his resurrection. The resurrection is foundational to our faith. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 14, and verse 20, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain. But now Christ has been raised from the dead." The power of the resurrection is the power in which Jesus raised himself from the dead. Jesus says in John 10, 17 and 18, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." Jesus conquered death and the grave when he raised himself from the dead, proving he was the Son of God. Romans 1, 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul tells us, says that Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, calls as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, when he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God by power, by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. In this resurrection, those who believe in Jesus will also be resurrected to eternal life. Jesus said to Martha before he raised Lazarus from the dead, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." The power of the resurrection is the hope that we have in this life and for our eternal life to come. Paul reminds us in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself." The second thing Paul listed, in Christ we may know the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul tells us in Romans 8 that we are children of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Peter tells us that to share in Christ's suffering is what we have been called to. We will suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. Those who are his will continue to persevere in faith, trusting God in the midst of their suffering. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, 20 through 23, "For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and you suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to God, who judges righteously." Corrie Ten Boom and her family hid Jewish refugees in their Dutch home during the Holocaust. They were eventually caught and imprisoned in the brutal Ravensbrück concentration camp. While enduring suffering, loss, and physical distress, she wrote of her profound spiritual experiences. In some of the darkest and most agonizing moments of her life, she experienced the supernatural strength and comfort of the love of Jesus as if he was there with her. We are not called to a life free from suffering and pain, but to a life where in our suffering we experience the presence and power of Jesus to comfort us. It is in this crucible of suffering that our faith matures as we endure and we grow to know and trust him in everything. Finally, Paul says, "In Christ we are conformed to his death that we may obtain to the resurrection of the dead." Paul tells us we are conformed to his death as we daily face tribulation, trials, persecution as he did. In Romans 8, 34 through 37, Paul says, "Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness, peril or the sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Since we have died with Christ, we will also live with him forever." Paul tells us in Romans 6, 8 through 9, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again." We see in Paul's example that our worldly achievements and religious self-righteousness is worthless compared to the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. True righteousness comes by faith in Jesus alone. It is in this faith, through this intimate personal relationship, we experience the power of Jesus Christ now as he lives through us and the hope of the resurrection life to come. What will we give in exchange for knowing Jesus Christ? He offers us a personal, intimate relationship with him. In this relationship, we receive the knowledge of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the power of Christ, the fellowship of Christ, and glory with Christ unto everlasting life. We have nothing in this world that compares to the immeasurable value of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. Would you like to know Jesus as your Lord today? If you have come here searching for something you can't find in the world, You can find it in Jesus. You can accept Jesus right where you're sitting. You ask him into your hearts. Agree with him that you are a sinner. Confess your sins to him and repent, asking him to forgive you. If you make this decision this morning, please come and see myself or one of the elders so that we can pray with you and talk to you about your new life in Christ today. Let's pray and then we'll move to communion. Heavenly Father, we just stand in awe of your presence, Lord. We stand in awe of the great sacrifice you made for us. As we walk each day and the power of Jesus' sacrifice works in us and through us, Lord, help us to honor that sacrifice by walking just as Jesus walked, to walk in faith, to not hold on to the things of this world, but to give everything we have to know the surpassing value of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thank you for this special time to be together, Lord. We love you and we praise you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.